So, relationship with others. How interesting is this subject, right? It's a big subject. You know, you might think of automatically when I say relationship with others, you might think about your spouse, you might think about your family, you might think about your friends, but and you might think about strangers. So it's all inclusive. But really, what I want to talk about today actually comes out of somewhere where I was yesterday, which was at a women's conference, and it was called Overflow. And they were speaking, one of the speakers there was speaking about how when we're broken, our hearts are broken. We have cracks. We're like a vessel that has cracks. And she was right. Some of us are pretty broken and we're on a road of being mended by the mender, the great mender, Jesus, right? And it's a process. You know, you don't come to Jesus and you're all good, right? It's a sanctification process. You are saved by grace through faith. You are saved 100%. You're going to heaven, right? But the sanctification process is a lifelong process with God. Ain't nobody got there yet. Until you get to heaven, you're perfected. And so we've always got things and issues in our heart to deal with before the Lord. And, you know, it was really good because she led people into a prayer of forgiveness. And she was acknowledging that sometimes it's just a matter of forgiving somebody that can actually heal us. You know, it's like that saying that keeping unforgiveness in your heart is like drinking deadly poison and expecting the other person to die. And forgiveness is a gift that God's given us to mend our hearts, to mend our lives. And how many times should we forgive? The Bible says, how many times? Seven times? 77 times? 7,770. It's just unending. Jesus is saying, just keep forgiving. Just keep forgiving. Forgiveness is a big issue. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about relationship with others. But it's a massive, critical, poignant thing to bring up when we're talking about relationship with others is a lot of times we have to forgive. I want to be the person who forgives first. I want to, even if I'm in the wrong, I want to forgive first. I want to say, I'm sorry. I'll own it. I'm sorry. Because you know what? It takes guts to do that. It takes some grit. It takes some humility. Even if and when you say sorry to someone, they go, oh, no, 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 that's really me. You know, but you went there first. You opened up the door to a conversation, and it's super important to check your heart. It's so important to have this overflow in our lives where when we're full of God, full, we talked about relationship with the Father. We talked about relationship with Jesus, and we'll talk about relationship with the Holy Spirit. When our relationship with Him is tight, when our relationship with Him is good, we should have an overflow onto others. And we should, you know, it should just come out of our heart like joy. Joy should be an overflow. Peace in our heart should be an overflow. The love of God should be an overflow onto others. We shouldn't have to try and manufacture it. It should be a supernatural love that just overflows. Amen. And so John 15 verse 12 says this, and Jesus' words, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Oh, that's a big statement, right? Love others as I have loved you. I don't know about you, but Jesus has loved me unconditionally. He has poured out His love in our hearts, right? And that's how He expects us to love others. It's a big call. We're always going to be working at it. It's a tough one. But, you know, some of the scriptures are here to challenge us, to grow us, to move us forward, you know. Luke 6, verse 31, about love says, do to others as you would have them do to you. You know, maybe your parents taught you that. That's a lifelong lesson that the parents teach the kids, right? Do to others as you would have them do to you. You know, the overflow of our hearts is so important that, you know, when you have cracks and gaps and deficits in your heart, you can let Jesus in. You can let the Holy Spirit into those places and He will heal you. He is the mender. And, you know, there's this Japanese practice of mending broken objects. It's an art form. And I forget what it's called, but what they do is they aggrandize the cracks. Say there's a pot and it's all cracked. The Japanese really believe that when they pour liquid gold into the cracks to mend them, and then they've got all this beautiful gold artwork through the vessel. It's become a new vessel. It's become whole again. They pour liquid gold into these cracked pots or cracked mugs or plates, and they actually fully believe that once something's been broken, it's more valuable. It's a belief. And, you know, I believe that God sees us in exactly the same way. We come to him broken. We come to him with all kinds of cracks that need mending. And he pours his liquid love into those cracks. And then we start to look like a new vessel. You know, not a new vessel, but an aggrandized vessel. Aggrandize, actually, the word means to merit something that's unworthy of that merit. That's what aggrandize means. And that's what the Lord does with us, isn't he? He pours out his grace to us. We come to him broken. Actually, we come to him when we're at our worst. And he says, yeah, I'll take that crackpot. I'll take that. And I'll pour my liquid love into that. And then I will use this vessel to overflow my love into the mission field, into others. And that's what happens, isn't it? Isn't he amazing how he does that? It's a supernatural thing. But just know that your hearts are being worked on daily, all the time. And if the Lord pinpoints something, it's because he wants to mend you. He wants to have you whole. He wants to use you and to have you be able to love the way he's called us to love. You know, relationships are more important to God than anything else. If you think about the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are a relationship. So he's all about relationship. He's all about how we treat others. He's all about our relationship with him. How we respond to others is super important. And relationships are God's very nature. And, you know, we are a family. When we look around, you're a family, but you're also an army. You know, Dad's army. We talked about the Father's love where we're not perfect, right? We're Dad's army. God's getting us together. He's forming us together. He's getting us strong as a team. But we're also a family. If you look beside you, you're looking at your brother or your sister. Isn't that incredible? Or your daughter, right? But we're brothers and sisters together. We're family. We're God's family. Isn't that amazing? It actually stops you. It prevents you kind of judging people. Because you go, that's my sister in Christ. That's my brother. You know, Shadi, you're my brother in Christ. You know, and Shadi's going in for an operation this Wednesday. And it's going to be all good, brother. It's going to be good. You know, but praise God for Shadi. A quick story. Like, he's out there during the week. He meets this girl, Tanisha, who's here. There she is. Say hi, Tanisha. You know, Shadi invites Tanisha to church. How amazing is that? That's the overflow coming out of Shadi's heart towards somebody else. Amen. And that's what Dave's talking about. When we go into the park, we're like just going to overflow God's love and joy. And it's not hard. It's not about event. You've got to take the word evangelism out of it. It's not evangelism. It's an overflow of God's love into the community. This is what we're talking about. It should be natural. It should be easy. It shouldn't be hard. If it's hard, you've got the wrong perception of loving others. All we're doing is presenting ourselves in a place so that we can overflow God's love into our community. Amen. I had this privilege yesterday of speaking at this conference of overflow, and I brought up the thing about the broken objects and stuff, which was great. And then I got to share my testimony about how God mended my spine because I had an accident off a 10-meter platform diving and I was broken, absolutely broken, like crooked hips, spine, neck. It was a trauma, and lived in chronic pain for 15 years. And I met Jesus. I met the mender, and he came into my life. I allowed Jesus to come into my life. And what he did was he started to mend. He moved my bones supernaturally back. I'm standing here a walking, talking miracle today to show you that God can actually move bones. He can raise the dead. Did you know? Did you know he could raise the dead? Yeah, it's in the Bible. I mean, he can heal the sick. He can heal lepers. He can do anything. He can heal you, Shadi. He can move bones. He can grow limbs. He can raise the dead. He can heal the blind. He can open ears. He can do whatever he wants because he's Jesus. He's supernatural. He's not here to do natural things. He's here to do supernatural things. That's why he got raised from the dead. So he overcame every demon in hell. And I'm sorry, I'm getting fired up. So sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. He is the King of Kings. There's nothing impossible for him. He can mend anything that's broken. Anything, he can fix a broken marriage. He can fix a broken relationship with your parents. He can fix a broken relationship with your son, daughter, whatever. But if you can come to him like a broken vessel and let him into those cracks, no, there is no limit to what God can do. It's about a surrender and positioning yourself with your heart before God. Amen. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit excited. It was so amazing yesterday that, you know what? The power is in your testimony. I had this whole preach I was going to preach, had all these fancy notes on overflow. And at the last minute, the Lord said, nope, scrub that. Testimony. There's souls here. Five people came to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Five women in a business conference. Amazing. This one woman, she was crying, bawling. I could just see her. She was so ripe. It was like plucking an apple from the tree. Bush! Like that. It was just, here's Jesus. Would you like Jesus? She said, yes, please. And that's overflow. Your testimony. See, you may be in the middle of building a great testimony right now. You're building a testimony, Jazzy. Right now, you're building part of your testimony. You're up against it, girl. I know you are, but I just saw this. I know I prayed for you before the service, but I saw a prophetic picture for you in the praise and worship. And it was you walking on a tightrope, a very tight rope. You were like, balance. You were like, oh, if I go that way one little millimeter, I'm going to fall. But you were walking this tightrope. And at the end was Jesus. And he was saying to you, just fix your eyes on me. And you will not fall. And I really see that picture for you. Just fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Just fix, just fully fixed, and you're going to get to the other side. You're going to get there. Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. I see that picture for you. One step at a time, my friend. One little step at a time. That's all he requires sometimes. It's just one little step at a time. Relationships work when, number one, we're honest. Oof, that's a big one. When we're honest. When we can bring things into the light has a power like it dispels darkness. When we hold things in our heart, when we hide things, when we keep things in the dark, the enemy gets ground. The enemy starts to build power in our lives. But when we bring it into the light, we dispel all the darkness. And that's about getting honest. Honest with yourself and honest with the other person. And it takes courage. It takes courage to bring things into the light. Like if somebody does something to upset you, you know, we're talking about relationships, even in a marriage, right? If somebody is annoying you, doing something, it's better to bring it into the light than to fester resentment and bury that thing. And then one day it goes, brah! And it's an explosion and you go, wow, that was like an overreaction. What happened there? Why did you overreact? Because it'd been building, 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 and one tiny thing just set it off. But if you can continue to bring it out into the light, hey, let's talk about this. When you did this, I felt this. Not you made me. Not you, you made me feel this. No, nobody made you feel anything. You felt it. They didn't make you. Right? So when you did this, I felt this. Could be completely wrong. You could have completely misunderstood what the person did. But bringing it into the light gives both parties an opportunity to say, no, no, that's not how I meant. Right? And then you get to talk about, and the power's gone. No resentment, no build up. Amen. Can we do this as a family? If there's something that's annoying you, go to the, it says in the scriptures to go to the person, go tell them, bring it into the light. Amen. When we're honest. So watch out for resentment. If you can feel it building, say, ooh, that could be an opportunity to bring that into the light. That's what it's for, that resentment. It's like a signpost. Amen. Number two, when we relationships work, when we can forgive quickly. Luke 7, verse 47. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. It's talking about this beautiful woman who poured perfume over Jesus' feet and wiped with her hair, the adulterous woman, for she loved much. So she was an adulterer, but she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Amazing. I always say those who have been forgiven much love much. Same deal, same thing. But I can see people who have been forgiven of much. They have a merciful heart. They have a grace for others. They don't judge quickly because they know, oh my goodness, I'm not judging anybody because I know my own sins. You know, I know my own weakness, my own cracks in the pot. I know how much God's mended me over the years. And it really helps you not judge others. It's like those who have been forgiven of much have a deep gratefulness for God. Therefore, they can overflow that same love into others' lives. Amen. Sorry, back to Proverbs 26:7. When we're talking about forgiving quickly and bringing things into the light, this scripture is so good. It says, the wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So the wounds of a friend, when somebody can come to you and say, you know, this is bugging me, or let's bring this into the light, that's a friend. You know why they're a friend? Because they care about the relationship. But somebody who's just going to, you know, tell you you're all great all the time, they're not your friend. They're not coming into a deep relationship with you that's honest. It's honest. You know, nobody's perfect, so there's going to be cracks. But when we can appreciate a little adjustment from our friends or our family or our spouse, then that's a good thing. You know, adjust me. If I'm doing something to bug you, can you please tell me? Tell me. I want to stop doing it. Do you know what I'm saying? Proverbs 12, verse 17 says, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Whoever can speak the truth gives, it's honesty that we're after. Amen. Mark 11, 25. I'm doing gymnastics for you up there, Andrew. Mark 11, 20's got it. Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And the scripture, there's like two or three times where the scripture says, hey, if you're coming to me to ask me for anything, could you just make sure you've forgiven everybody first? Because I've forgiven you. This is all about relationship. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're coming into relationship with God when you're asking for something. And he's saying, well, hang on a sec. Have you forgiven your brothers and sisters yet? You know, it's like he's a good parent. And so that is going to be a strong motivation to get your prayers answered, to check your heart, to say, is there anybody I need to forgive, Lord? Can I come to you with a clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart? Do I need to forgive somebody before I can come into your presence? Amen. He's holy. Holy. He's holy. And when we approach God, we're approaching a holy God. And he's looking at our hearts. He can see right through us. It's scary. But you know what's incredible? He still loves us. Even though he can see all our faults, all our cracks, all our judgments, even though he can see all our mess, he still loves us. And that is why Jesus went to the cross, so that we could be covered in Jesus's blood, that we could be covered, that we could come to God through faith in Christ. We can come boldly, it says, before the throne of grace. Throne of grace. We come to the grace. We don't come to a judging God. We come to a God who's full of grace. He's full of truth, though. He's full of light. He's full of mercy. He's full of healing, kindness, goodness, all these things. He's a mighty, mighty holy God. We come to him. We check ourselves. And then we ask. But we come with praise, with worship, offering what he deserves. He's holy after all. Amen. We're in relationship with God. We're in a relationship with him. He says, come on, kids. Come into my throne room. You can come. You can come because of my son. You can come because of what Jesus did. That's eternal. How amazing is that? Number three, relationships work when we use kindness. Kindness. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Amen. Kindness works wonders, doesn't it? You know, when you've got somebody really nasty coming at you at work, or somebody coming up against you with not kind, you know what you got to do? Kill them with kindness. Kill them. Be so kind that it absolutely kills them. There's nowhere for them to go. Amen. You just go soft on them. Be kind, be generous. And it absolutely disarms the unkind in them. Ever had that experience? So good. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 7 talks about love. The famous marriage scripture. Amen. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Strong words to live up to, there. Strong words. Love never fails, though. It means when there's a relationship crisis, what do you do? Get your love on. What do you do? Forgive quickly. What do you do? Bring it into the light. Be honest. Go to God, ask him for help. Sometimes if I have a difficult conversation to have with somebody, I always go to God, help me, Lord. Help me have a strategy. Help me know how to win this person through. How to restore this relationship. You know, I call these conversations critical conversations. Critical conversations. Why are they critical? They're critical because relationship rests on them. And if relationship is the most important thing to your God, then I want to get it right. I always say to people, I know we've got to get from here to there, but I want to make sure our relationships are intact. If you're going to leave a job, make sure your relationships are intact. When you can leave well, you can start well. When you leave a relationship, it's good to, sometimes, you know, it's not good when we leave a relationship because of our own safety. We need to get out. There's boundaries, there's all that stuff. But we need to forgive and move on. Sometimes, you know, there's boundaries we need to put down. Which is my other point, which is number four, we teach people how to treat us. I'm going to say that again. We teach people how to treat us. That's our job. That's not God's job. That's our job. I'm teaching you how to treat me with everything I do and everything I say. And you teach others, you teach everybody around you how to treat you. So if somebody's mistreating you, that's your job. That's your job. You're giving out the wrong message. What are you saying to them? What are you letting them do to you? And you're not actually, you haven't had the courage yet to bring it into the light, to get honest about it, to say, actually, when you do that, that's upsetting me. So could you stop that? You know, boundaries are awesome. You've heard about boundaries, right? There's a great book on boundaries. Somebody, Cloud, wrote it. Amazing. It changed my life when I was going through my own divorce. I had to escape a domestic violence situation in my own marriage, and it was hectic. I mean, talking about boundaries, I'll put boundaries down. He would just cross them. I'll be like, boundaries, boundaries, what? I was doing the boundaries course, and I never realized, like, so sometimes people can make you angry, like at the drop of a hat. And my ex-husband, he had this ability to send me into a rage. And I'd be like, I don't like that rage in me. I didn't like it. It was horrible. I mean, just, I would go from 0 to 10, like whoosh. And I was like, well, I don't like that about me. Why have I got this rage? I did this boundaries course and I had a revelation that a lack of boundaries leads to rage. If you think about all the way you think about rage is there and the boundaries over there and there's no boundary here and you're walking along and you get to rage, it's because there's no boundary. And so if you're careful and consistent with boundaries, you'll never end up in rage. You'll never end up angry because you can stop right there at the boundary. You can stop somebody treating you the wrong way. Amen? By communicating, by bringing things into the light, by being honest, by being courageous. Good relationships take courage. They take courage. Because when you bring something into the light, what's the biggest fear? You're going to lose that relationship. Is that the fear? That's it, isn't it? We're scared to bring things. We're scared to be honest because we're scared of the loss or of that relationship. But what I'm saying is when you can treat yourself with such respect, because you're the daughter of the king or the son of a king. His name is Jesus. You are royal, the royal priesthood. When you can treat yourself, have your identity rooted in Christ, knowing that you should be treated with love and care and honesty and respect. That's how you should be treated. But if you don't believe that, we've got an issue. We've got to go back to our dad, our father, and say, God, why can't I love myself the way that you love me? Because he said, love others as I have loved you. So he has loved you in the unconditional love, and now he expects you to love others that way. But you have to first treat yourself with that same love. Otherwise, you got no overflow. You're on a deficit. You got cracks all over. The water's running out. Amen? And so is this good? A bit practical? Who knows, your pastor's been through a few trials. I've been through a broken marriage. I've been through divorce. I've been through domestic violence. I've been through trauma. I've been through that. I've been through sexual abuse. I've been through it all. Honestly, I've been through it. And I'm telling you, one of my biggest problems was a lack of boundaries because I had no self-love. I didn't understand, and it wasn't until I met Jesus I felt God's liquid love. Started a process of mending. Some of you have got more cracks than others. Some of you got one or two cracks when you come to Christ. I was like, I hardly had any big pieces to put back. It was a lot. And I'm not saying I want you to feel sorry for me. I just want you to know I've done the yards of allowing the mender in to the broken places. And I know how painful that is because it takes courage to get vulnerable enough in front of the king to allow that liquid love to come in. It takes pure vulnerability, honesty, and to bring your flaws into the light. It's kind of awkward. It's like, ew. But you bring them into the light knowing that you're bringing them into love. You're bringing them into a relationship of love and not judgment. God will never judge you. He hasn't judged you. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to give you life. He came to give you life abundantly. All he wants to do is see his kids be happy, you know, and be joyful and be peaceful and mended. He knows that we were broke. We were broken. We were born into a broken world. We were already broken when we were born. He knows that every single vessel in this room needs his liquid love and his sanctification process so that we can be all before him, giving him all the praise and worship and all the glory, because without him, it's a mess, right? Without him, amen? So together, we can strengthen our relationships with these keys I've spoken to you about. Can I get the keys back up, Daniel? That'd be awesome. Together we're committed to Christ. Amen? If we're talking about a few crackpots, right? Together we're a lot of crackpots, but we're committed to Christ. We're all committed to grow with each other. We're committed to communicate honestly with each other. Hey, that's bothering me. Could you adjust that? And there's ways, you know, information is awesome, but delivery is even more important. I mean, you can be the most gifted preacher on earth, most prophetic person on earth, but if you do not know how to deliver God's message with love, He's not interested. You could be like the least best communicator, but if you're coming from love, if you're motivated, if the overflow is love, mercy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, not self-seeking, not judgmental, if you can overflow God's grace, the same grace, the forgiveness that you've received, if you can overflow that into other people's hearts, then church, that's exciting. That's exciting to me because that means we're going to reach people. That's exciting to me because that means you're going to overflow. You're getting mended and you're overflowing His mending ability into other people. Amen. I want to pray for you. Father God, I thank You that You love Your people, Your kids. We're Your kids. We're Your family. First and foremost, we're Your family. And so, Lord, I pray for any hurt here, any forgiveness that needs to take place here today. Lord, that we would offer that up to You right now and that You would mend that in us so that You would pour Your liquid gold into those cracks. I thank You, Father, for Your sanctification process. We acknowledge it. We invite it. We invite You to fix us, to mend us. And we invite You into our hearts today, acknowledging that You have completely forgiven us 100% and that we stand here forgiven, sanctified by the blood of Christ, given the free gift of eternal life, not by anything we've done, but it is a pure gift, a gift from heaven. And we thank You for that gift. And I thank You, Lord, that You are sending us on mission to tell others about that gift. Ephesians 2:8, Lord, that we are saved by grace through faith in You, Lord, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord, that we are going to be strengthened as a church, strengthened in our relationships with each other. In the mighty name of Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus to come into your life like on purpose, you've never been vulnerable enough, been honest enough and vulnerable enough to say, I've got some big cracks going on and I'm not sure that I'm in a relationship with God. I think I am, but I'm not sure. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just invite Jesus for sure, for good, into your heart today so that when you walk out of here today, you know you're in a pure relationship with God. And if that could be the very first time you've done that, or you're coming back to Jesus today, you're saying, I'm recommitting my life. I'm recommitting it to Jesus. I'm going for a fresh start today, a fresh new day. And Lord, I'm asking You to forgive everything I've done in my previous days up until now. And I'm coming to You to receive Your salvation today. Or you're just not sure of your salvation. You think you're saved. You just want to make sure. I'm going to ask you right here, right now, just to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to pray a prayer of salvation. I want to pray a prayer of salvation today that I know, that I know, that I know, thank You, that I'm in relationship with Jesus, that I'm in relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Anybody else that wants to make a fresh start? I see your hand, sweetie. Anybody wants to make a fresh start today? I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And you're going to be for sure convinced that you're saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we pray this prayer together, church? Say out loud with me, dear Jesus, I let You in. I acknowledge you are the Son of God who died for me, for my sin. You're the Saviour of the world. You're my Saviour. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me. Forgive me for everything, every little thing. In Jesus' name, thank you for my fresh start. Thank you for my new day. Thank you for my clean page. I belong to you now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Give the Lord some praise. It's so good.